So in the documentary itself, we featured one survivor in particular, Jim LaBelle, who lives in Anchorage, but as part of the kind of research process of it, we did speak to other survivors. And even though they went to different schools in different years, there was a commonality, which was they were not allowed to speak their language, and they were subjected to pretty into horrific abuse. But one of the things I think is important to remember is that when people are learning about this boarding school policy, is that even though it started in the 19th century, it continued on for over a century. And so it wasn't that long ago. And so there's still survivors out there who were taken from their families.
And like you said, Jim LaBelle was one of those that you spoke to, and he said a lot of things in that documentary that really drive home what was going on at these boarding schools and his experience. But there was one part of that documentary that really kind of just hit me, the way that he described the first night there at the boarding school. And I thought I would play just that clip here real quick.
We got settled in for the night. That's when some of them started to cry. It started off with little whimpers, little sniffles, but it caught on. All it took was for one little child to start crying, and then another one, and then another, and then another, to a point where the entire dorm room of little kids were just wailing into the night. And we all cried ourselves to sleep. Waking up the next day, our eyes are swollen shut, and the process was repeated over and over and over until the middle of the school year. I don't think any child cried anymore, because no one's going to come and get me or hold me, tell them that they're loved.
Jim, in particular, I think he's really amazing. It's because he's willing to talk about, what he went through. But, talking about trauma is not something that is easy to do. And so we're in that sense, we're really honored that he felt comfortable talking to us about that.
Yeah, definitely. I wondered about why it was so common, I guess, and it seems to represent something, that there were graveyards around a lot of these schools with what ended up being unmarked or unnamed graves, right?
So right now, following the discovery of the unmarked graves in Canada earlier this year, the US government announced that they would undertake their own investigation looking into burial sites and how many children died. One of the only other times the government has done anything looking at the boarding schools was in the 20s, and they released a report. And this government report, it didn't mince words at all. They called the schools grossly inadequate. They said the children were malnourished, not properly fed, and that even the best schools, at the children's health and diet was not good, and that there was extreme overcrowding, and so disease could just run free, in particular TB. They raised the issue of the fact that these children were having to do manual labor at the school. And, ostensibly it was under the guise of education, but it was actually really to keep the schools running. So the conditions were extremely harsh, and the idea that the government does not know and is only now undertaking an investigation to find out how many children died at these schools is really, it just, I don't really have a word for it. It's infuriating, to be honest, but it's important that they're doing this work now.
Of the folks that have been doing research on this, some of them are relatives of people that went away to boarding schools. And one of them is Eleanor Haddon. She's an Alaska Native woman who spent many years trying to figure out what happened to her great aunt, Mary Kininook, who was taken to the Carlisle Indian School. What did Eleanor tell you about that journey, about her investigation, and what she discovered?
Yeah, so Eleanor's great aunt went to Carlisle in 1903, and it was only in the 1960s that Eleanor's mother learned about this aunt that she never knew. And she was the one that started this search. And so she spent decades trying to get this information. And I think one of the things that's important to kind of take away from this is that it's the information is just scattered, and that's not uncommon. So that information about these students and what happened to them is is kind of locked away and you kind of have to work in pieces to get it. And that's what Eleanor and her mother did. So that's like, it's just so much work that they did to try and find out what happened to this one child. And it's something that the government is currently undertaking now as well.
Yeah, really, you see it in this documentary where she has all these different documents that she's had to find in all these different places out on the table. And it's just visually, you know, compelling how difficult it must have been to just get what today we would think of as pretty simple information about where somebody was or what happened to them. And I guess ultimately, what did she discover about what happened to Mary Kininook?
So she eventually discovered that Mary died in December of 1908. And when Eleanor first went to Carlisle, she went to the cemetery that's there. And she looked for her name, and it wasn't there. And so at Carlisle, they moved the cemetery. And in the process of that move, a lot of things seem to have gone awry, because there are over a dozen graves at Carlisle that are marked as unknown.
Here's Eleanor Haddon talking about that, about visiting Carlisle.
When I first went to Carlisle and went through all the names on the stones, I was overwhelmed with so many children. There was no Mary. 14 graves had markers unknown in the school cemetery. We figured she must be one of the unknowns. They moved the cemetery to where it is today, and the records were not good. They can't keep track of children. That's when I got my first anger about the people not knowing what we've gone through.
So, Kavitha, what happens next? I mean, where do we go from here?
I mean, it's a good question. I think one of the things I took away from reporting on this was, you know, anytime friends or family would ask me what I was working on, I would tell them. And no one knew about this. And I think it's just one of the reasons we called the documentary Buried Truths was not just, unfortunately, about the children who died at these schools, but at the fact that this history itself is very buried. It's been kind of pushed away and hidden. You know, I went to public school in Texas, and I never learned anything about federal policy towards tribes, let alone about the boarding school policy. And so I think this is infuriatingly common when it comes to U.S. history, but it's one of the reasons that we really appreciate the interviewees taking the time to film with us and open up to us about this, so that these stories are out there more and more. And hopefully with the Interior investigation and maybe more people talking about it, unfortunately, in light of the discoveries in Canada, more people will start to recognize and learn about this dark chapter of U.S. history, but it's a chapter nonetheless.